Welcome to Transcendent. I'm Joe and I'm the dad.
And I'm Raya and I'm the daughter.
Hey, we've got some exciting news
this
today.
This is
really
big,
exciting.
Big, big stuff.
Yes. You know, people have been asking us to do some kind of a meeting get together where we could hang out and get to know each other. They want to meet us.
When you're in the audience, it's difficult to get to really know other people. And we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could do a meetup?
And so we have this place already arranged in Albuquerque. And it's coming up Wednesday. It's a breakfast get together and it starts at 5:30. And for those of you in the Albuquerque area, you know, it is Bubba's Sports Bar. And we're going to be there. It's actually Bubba's Sports Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to have liver and onions.
We've got some big name guests that are coming in too. Some local sports stars that are coming in that are going to be talking about the ways that they are challenging the gender binary in their sports playing.
Uh-huh. And they'll be available for autographs. This is really going to be good. So we hope we see you Sunday. Oh, and by the way, April Fools.
April Fools. So we started this episode off with a joke, but we have a very serious topic today. And we hope that you'll give this a lot of consideration. Dad, I wanted to talk about this verse that we found from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, from both the Christian Bible, and then this is also in the Jewish Bible, because they both share the same scriptures. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And I will a lot of times hear religious people using a verse like this one or others to harshly condemn LGBTQ people.
In our March 11th podcast, we talked about how people years ago would use the Bible to justify slavery. They made it seem as though that was the right thing to do. Well, over the years, people have begun to understand it's not right to own another person. It's not right to have power over that person for the rest of their entire life. And you own them and you can sell them. You can move them. I think we all agree that is wrong. But nowhere in the Bible does it ever say it's wrong. We talked about in that March 11th episode about the fact that it isn't something that was ever addressed that said, it's not okay. But we've already identified that. And what it says in Isaiah as you're starting out is about as close as we're going to get to understanding that some of these things are not right for the 21st century.
And they come with a lot of vitriol, a lot of anger, a lot of conviction that what they believe is absolutely right. It's really hurtful when you are just being who you are and somebody comes up and says, you are wrong with God. It's not just that you're doing something that I disapprove of, but you are fundamentally wrong. You have been built wrong as a person. Your very core drive as a person is not just distasteful to me, but puts you at odds with God, with the divine purpose for the world. Who you are is disgusting in the eyes of God. That's a terrible, terrible thing to put on somebody.
You're absolutely right. But it's not just a person doing it. It's a collective group. They get together and united, they come out with this message that says how terrible you are. What you're doing is wrong. You've made this choice. It's your responsibility to change that idea because we know it's wrong. And I'm going to focus my entire attention on that and keep you out of our group, unless you can come around to our way of thinking. Now, can you imagine how difficult that would be for the person who's out there not wanting, but knowing there's no choice? Knowing and understanding that I can't just change this. I can't be something different. And it's difficult for anyone being beaten down by an entire collective group of thousands of people saying this, because that's what the way they interpret it, and they believe we need to be that same way.
You know, Dad, I have a close friend that I've had conversations with about all of these things. And she says, I understand what you're saying, and I understand that you want this to be okay. She said, but I believe the Bible, and I can't just go against what I believe God is saying. And I understand her plight, because I was in a very similar place, that if you are committed to living your life according to the Bible, you might feel like, well, my only choice is to follow the clear teaching of these verses here. And we talked about some interpretations and some ways that you would look at that, that would allow you to still follow the Bible without having to reject LGBTQ people. We want to make the point here in this podcast, not that there is just one interpretation that you can accept in order to be an ally and be supportive of LGBTQ people, but we actually want to take it to the next level and say that it is wrong to condemn LGBTQ people.
It's wrong on so many levels to think that when you say this, and not just as your own personal opinion, but a voice of an entire group, you are beating these people down. You're telling them that they are really an enemy of God, that God hates you for this, and God can't accept the way you are because we know it's wrong. Now imagine how those people feel. You get to the point where you have a relationship with God already, and they're telling you, oh, God isn't going to accept you. You are so different from anyone else. There are so many other things in the Bible that they ignore. In the New Testament, Jesus himself says, if you divorce your wife for any reason other than adultery, it's wrong. You can't do that. But there's a whole lot of the people who are telling you that you are wrong that are divorced. Jesus goes on to say, if you remarry after that divorce, even if you did it because of adultery, you are committing adultery. And they are using that same logic against the LGBTQ community, and I will add the allies, to say that you are the terrible ones. You are the think people who are, but they could go on with all of these other things and say, we can justify that. It's okay with us. And to have Jesus himself tell you this and go on to ignore it, focus on that as the terrible thing that separates you from God, doesn't seem to me to be a logical argument. Now, I'm not saying that you're wrong in saying it's okay to divorce and remarry. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I can see it from another perspective myself, as you can. But you cannot necessarily use that same logic against the entire LGBTQ community and say, you're going to hell. And I'll tell you, no matter who you are and no matter what you say, I know this. I cannot, and you cannot, be the judge. God is the judge. That's not in our area. That is not for us to say. We do not have the power to determine who God accepts and who God doesn't accept. And to go on from there and think that you can continue to talk about this as a collective group to the point where some people feel so terrible and so beat down and so bullied that they themselves might commit suicide. And I ask you this, if they do commit suicide because they've been bullied, because they have been told that they are not acceptable to God, who killed these people?
Let me put this in perspective for you. Imagine that someone told you, as a straight person, that it is wrong to have your straight relationship. Imagine that somebody said, anytime you have been attracted to a person of the opposite sex, you are a bad person. You are an evil person. And your desire to want to be married, your very desire to spend your life with another person, puts you at odds with the creator of the universe. That would not just be a difference of opinion, but you can see how you would have trouble living your entire life. Now, I know that there are some conservative Christians that are gay that do accept that, and they have just said, well, I believe that I am called to live a celibate life. You know, I give those people a lot of respect. I would certainly never want to come and condemn them because they are following their convictions where they lead. But I would want to push back and say, if somebody chooses to do that for themselves because that's their conviction, okay, well, that's fine. That's on them. But it is wrong to say to every gay person, you can never have a partner that you're in love with. You can never be with anyone that you find attractive ever. And if you ever do, I'm going to judge you and condemn you. That's not just a difference of opinion. That puts you on the wrong side of history. That puts you on the wrong side of morality. You are not just making an incorrect value judgment about what the Bible may or may not mean, but you have actually gone the next step and become someone who is promoting a falsehood. You, in your effort to resist this idea of calling evil good and good evil, have done the very thing that you say that I'm doing.
About a year ago, I think it was June 19th, 2023, we did a podcast with Dr. Pete Gasper, a veterinarian, highly regarded and highly respected, who told us that, and I don't remember the number, and I know it is a widespread, it was either 87 or 187 different species of animals that have been identified as being gay or lesbian. And that is what has been identified so far. There's thousands of others. And he said, if it occurs in the animal kingdom, it's considered natural.
There's a lot of different things in the Bible that talk about morality and what is good and right and what is wrong. And in fact, there are places where the Bible itself will critique other parts of the Bible and say, you've heard it said thus and so, but I say to you, and will give a better or a more moral way of looking at things. And if you look through in the Christian Bible and you look at what Jesus said it boils down to a couple of different things. Do you love God above all else, and do you love your neighbor as yourself? Or, at another point, he said, do to others as you would have them do to you. And when we're wondering, is something good or something bad? The Sermon on the Mount gives us the indication. Jesus said, look at the fruit. You shall know them by their fruits. And so I would ask, what are the fruits of the different viewpoints? Well, let me ask, first of all, what is the fruit of the viewpoint that it's wrong to be gay?
if there is a fruit, they think that it is probably the elimination of something that they see as wrong. They think that another fruit is not being able to influence others or try to sell them on the idea that maybe this is for them. We know that that is very unlikely, but that's usually what I would say would be the fruit they would see. I would not call it a fruit at all. There is no fruit.
Let's look at the fruit on the other side. What are the fruits of accepting that it's okay to be gay or lesbian?
You're getting your freedom, a freedom that you have been eliminated from, a freedom that you have never experienced. When you get this freedom, you get the happiness and joy and the opportunity to live the life that you're meant to live. And another fruit, when you come to terms with this, you realize that this is a gift from God, that you are one of God's children. And that fruit is wonderful.
Dad, there's a passage in the Christian Bible that talks about exactly what we're talking about here. And this comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he has come under attack from a lot of people that are saying, wait a minute, you're saying that all that matters is love one another, but what about the commandments? And what about we should behave this way and that way? And aren't you just opening the door to whatever comes along and people can live however they want to? And he said this. He said, the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you do not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. Now, the people that are against LGBTQ issues will say, see, there it is. It says it right there. Don't walk by the flesh. And these gay people just want to live in the flesh, and they just want to go and have these relationships that are against God's will. But watch what he goes on to say here. He says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. They're immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarn you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The idea is, if you are creating divisions, if you're coming against people, the very people that God has accepted, the very people that have said, I'm just living according to who I am. I'm not hurting other people. I'm not harming other people. I'm not bringing falsehood into the world. I'm not bringing anything bad into the world through my relationship with a same-sex partner, right? The deeds of the flesh are the people that destroy those relationships and in so doing destroy the people. But that verse goes on to say, the fruit of the Spirit is love. We want loving relationships, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. And when I think about loving LGBTQ partnerships, I see the fruits of the Spirit. When I think about people that condemn us, I see the deeds of the flesh.
When we hear that, we often think, well, that's not me, but it is. I don't mean it's you. I mean, it's me. I'm talking about the dad. Yes, I'm part of that as well in many ways. But I can tell you, in the last 7 years, I've learned a lot. And it's not what I think. I've learned a lot, and it's what I know.
I hope we have made the case, not just that it's not immoral to be gay or lesbian, but that it is actually immoral to condemn people for being gay or lesbian. I want to talk a little bit about my story. One of the last papers that I wrote when I was going for my Master of Divinity degree at a conservative seminary was my understanding at the time that I believed that the Bible compelled me to believe that it's wrong to be gay. And then I explored a little bit about why at that point I was finding it difficult. But I haven't shared my story of when it became personal. Several years ago, a friend told me that she was getting married to her lesbian partner. And at that point, I remembered thinking, boy, I'm so happy for her. I think that this is such a good relationship for her. I've seen it brighten her life. I've seen how excited she is. I've seen what a positive influence this has been in her life. And yet, my faith compels me to feel like I need to tell her that she's wrong. And now I'm faced with the problem that I feel like my interpretation of my holy book is requiring me to do something that now on further reflection I feel is wrong. And at that point, I didn't know how to deal with this. I didn't know how to think about it. I didn't know how to view the verses any differently or how to accept any kind of a theology that would be approving towards her. I knew in my heart that if I told her that what she was doing was wrong, I would not just be committing an error, but I would be actively harming her. I knew in my heart that it would be wrong for me to tell her that she was wrong. On March 11th, we compared slavery to LGBTQ issues. There's no verse in the Bible on its own that says that it's not okay to hold a slave. And yet, if you think that it's okay to own another human being, that is never okay. It's never okay. And so if you use the Bible to justify a case that it's okay to hold slaves or to own slaves, not only can you not righteously justify it, but you're actually using the verses in the Bible to commit a grave error. And we've tried to make the case here today that if you are condemning your LGBTQ plus loved one, your son or your daughter, or a brother or a sister or a mother or a father, or someone else that's close to you, you're committing a grave error. It's not just a difference of opinion. You are actively hurting people. You are actively pursuing immorality. You're not standing against immorality. You yourself have become the immoral person. And we can't afford to get this one wrong.
Oh, we certainly can't. As a matter of fact, we have an obligation to understand, to learn, to find out where are we and where are we going and what is really correct. What really is God's will in all of this? Well, the thing that we want to know most is what does God say to us? He says, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. When Raya came out, I had a lot to learn, and I still do. I'm still learning. And there are things I thought were the case that I found out for a fact I know I was wrong. And I'm not suggesting that you can just immediately, based on this, just all of a sudden flip to the other side. But I'm just suggesting learn a little bit, approach it with an open mind. Begin to understand why, what, how. And my guess is you'll learn like I'm learning. I've got a lot to learn yet, but I'm willing to approach with an open mind. And I'm just asking you to do the same, because we are dedicated to keeping families together. And I think that starts with understanding.
We hope that we have helped bring some understanding for you. And we welcome you here, regardless of where you are on your journey. If you agree with us and the things that we're saying, we're grateful to have you here. But if you don't agree with us, if you think, Raya, Joe, I think you're wrong. I think you are mistaken about some of these things about the Bible. I want you to know that you are welcome here also. This is a dialogue. This is a conversation. We're not here to score points. We're not here to make political allies with people or to win office. We're here to keep families and friendships together. And so thank you so much for coming here. We're here every week with points about how you can preserve your relationships and make them stronger. Thank you so much for coming and listening again and again.
And we want to preserve our relationship with you. So if you like what you hear, or even if you don't, we hope to see you back here again next Monday.